Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, Thursday morning, the Steve Cochran Show, ready to roll. I'm Dave Ennett, Steve Grzanich in the newsroom, Mary Vandevelt in the traffic center. As we get going on this Thursday, busy morning ahead, we've got Nick coming up later this half hour on the movies after we give you the top six. Chuck Todd, next half hour. A little bit of news made in the last 24 hours. Chuck will weigh in on all of the happenings in D.C. We'll get to the top six in a moment. Pat Brady, Eric Edelstein later will weigh in as well with their thoughts. We'll have another great MVPP for you this morning. And also, we'll look ahead to the Blackhawks convention, which gets going tomorrow. Drake Cajula of the Hawks will check in with us in the 9 o'clock hour as well. As we get you set, don't forget, we will bring you the opening ceremonies from the Hilton Chicago Live.
Who's going to be there?
Afternoon. Let's see. I'm going to be there. I believe Mr.
That's all I need to know.
Okay. It's Steve Cochran.
Oh, okay. He'll be there, too. That's great.
Are you guys doing panels or...
No, we're not. And Roe's going to be out there. Roe and Anna will be out there with their show starting at 3 tomorrow afternoon. But then we'll bring you the opening ceremonies, which is always a highlight of the convention, live at 5 o'clock. And then Steve's going to host a variety show with Adam Burrish, some sort of a comedy...
A variety show?
...thing, situation. Yeah. I don't know exactly. I can't tell you much more than that, Mary.
Singing and dancing involved?
Yeah. Okay. I think I asked Steve, and maybe he's got the answer. But sure. I guarantee you it'll be fun. I mean, the convention's always a great time. And I think there are still some tickets remaining for the Blackhawks convention. And
they're running out, though.
So yeah.
If you want to go, you got to hop on that.
You got to jump on it.
Doesn't it always seem like it's 110 degrees when they have the convention?
Yes, it always is. So I think it's got something to do with the fact they always have it the last weekend of July.
Yes.
And it's usually 110 degrees. Although, Steve, I don't think it's going to be 110 degrees this weekend.
It's going to be nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be warm, but there's nothing wrong with
that. We should probably open the roof at the Hilton.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You mean where they land the helicopters?
Is that where the upstairs spot that we've seen many times, which is very historic. You know, Kennedy, I think Martin Luther King, all stayed in that suite.
Yep.
Frank Sinatra.
And The Fugitive.
And they shot The Fugitive there.
Yes.
Which, of course, really happened. It's not just a movie.
Who?
Who's going to be available to us during the opening ceremony? It's like when... say, DeBrinket or Kane walk out, can we go, hey, fellas, come on off the runway?
Well, I think if you remember, we're off to the side of the ballroom, pretty much as far away from the runway as you can get.
Yeah.
I think that's by design.
How about if you and I just get on the runway and walk up with them?
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
And just low-fiving everybody as we walk by?
Eddie Elchek goes, for some reason, Steve Cochran has jumped on the runway, and Dave Ennett's trying to talk some sense into him.
Yeah.
6:13, we'll do a bunch of politics today, including the Robert Mueller testimony yesterday. The world hasn't changed. The facts are still the facts. First at 6:13, time for the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
At 6:14, time to say this. Robert Mueller did not say there was any reason for a Donald Trump / Fox News victory lap. Regardless of what you think of how the testimony went or didn't go, regardless of whether you've seen a second of it, there are nothing that has changed from the facts of the Mueller report. There is no total exoneration. There's no collusion with the Russian government. That's not wrong. But there's absolute instances, as many as 14, arguably, of obstruction of justice as well as welcoming Russian influence, foreign government influence, and on one of our elections is illegal. All there. All there for the reading. All you have to do is pick it up and read it. It's free, right on the internet.
And even more concerning is that the attacks by Russia are continuing.
Right now.
Today, and heading to the 2020 election, and we've done really nothing to stop it.
Much more on this later, but the odd victory lap. Well, I shouldn't say odd. Why would it be unexpected? The lying victory lap that Trump is taking on Twitter right now is just pointless. Oh, and by the way, Trump, as president of the United States, not addressing a word of the fact that Russia is still stealing from us and involved in our elections. Not a mention of it. Not a word. And by the way, that would be his job.
And it was described as an attack by Robert Mueller, an attack that the commander-in-chief should be at the front and center of dealing with.
And he said it's still going on right now as we sit here.
I watched quite a bit of it all day yesterday. And are the attacks on Mueller for his presentation,
yeah,
are those fair?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. No. Yesterday morning when we ended our coverage yesterday morning, or we left the morning show, I thought, well, this wasn't a really productive morning. And it was because when I thought about it later and I saw the afternoon session, which was much better done. There were better questions. The answers were better. I thought, this is a reluctant witness that really doesn't want to be here.
Right.
That was part of, I think, why the answers in the morning were so difficult. And then in the afternoon, I thought, well, okay, this is the part that Mueller really wants to talk about, which is the Russia interference part of this, and this is the part that you can tell he was more animated about defending.
And the fact of the matter is, he's a 75-year-old man who has testified to Congress 90 times. He knows and expects the BS he saw yesterday, including a grand total of one congressional Republican on two separate committees who brought up Russian interference in the election. The rest were the fantasies of FBI spying and various other things that have been made up. You got to get a hold of the Fox writers, because the Fox News writers have got to get some Fox News drama on Fox Regular. There ought to be a 60-minute fantasy drama weekly on Fox the Network called Fox News, because it's made up. There's your fake news, by the way.
Right.
Next. As if Chicago wasn't doing enough, issues already, Mayor Lori Lightfoot has committed a kind of major issue by insulting a Fraternal Order of Police official while her microphone was still on. The embarrassing incident happened Wednesday during the city council meeting when a clerk introduced the FOP Lodge 7's Vice President, Patrick Murray. Reacting to the introduction, Lightfoot said, "Oh, back again? This is this FOP clown?" It's not helpful. It's not helpful. How has she handled this, Steve? Has she addressed it at all?
It's interesting. She apologized, and the apology was that the comment was public.
I'm sorry you heard it.
I'm sorry you heard it.
Yeah.
I meant it, but I'm sorry you heard it. That was the apology we got from her. I mean, there obviously is a situation there where she's been butting heads with the FOP, and the personalities just are not getting along at all.
She needs a good relationship with the police. We need her to have a good relationship with the police, and this isn't helpful.
But at least she's honest.
Well, is it, though, right? Because unless she said it to his face, and unless he knows that's how she feels, that's not honest.
Yeah, I guess.
And there is. I want to say something about the relationship with the police. I mean, obviously, the union represents the rank and file police officers. There's no indication that she does not have the support of the upper brass of the Chicago Police Department. Mm-hmm. It seems she's working very well with the upper brass, including the police superintendent. So I don't know that there would be necessarily bad relations between those two sides.
Well, it depends on how the rank and file feels about the FOP and the boss and you know, all of it, because generally speaking, police will unify around each other as all of us here will unify around me if I'm ever in trouble. What?
We will.
Yep. Next. It's been described as beyond disturbing. A video appears to show a group of teenage girls being brutally attacking a teen girl with disabilities and laughing as it's heard. This is the amazing thing. We know there are bad people in the world. These kids are bad people. But the idea that they thought it would be a great idea to film it and post it. Now Chicago police are investigating. The videos were shared Monday night on Twitter by somebody who says they're actually a friend of the victim. We know for a fact they've been reshared by others. A local radio station, I don't know which one because I don't use the term a local radio station, or I would give them credit. A local radio station reports the teens offered to walk the girl to the subway.
but were luring her to the attack while they filmed. They should all go to jail for a very, very long time. I don't care how old they are. Next, Puerto Rican Governor Ricardo Rossello is expected to resign August. Is it August 2nd? I think that's the date I saw. As protests calling for his ouster continue on the streets of San Juan. I don't know why it's going to take him 10 days to get out. But he announced that he can no longer credibly serve. Yeah, welcome to reality. Next, the Cubs have demoted Addison Russell to the minors not long after Joe Maddon said he's got to straighten some things out. Mm-hmm. Russell played 55 games for the Cubs after his domestic violence suspension. Gut take, will he be back? Trade deadlines.
Trade deadlines next week. Right now, I would say, if I had to guess, I'd say it's doubtful.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
Yeah.
And finally this, social media influencers are reportedly falling ill after mistaking contamination. Let me try it one more time. Social media influencers are reportedly falling ill after mistaking contamination for a beautiful blue lagoon. It's happening in northwest Spain. A local newspaper there, Cadena Cope, reports the water is on the site of an abandoned World War II-era tungsten mine. It's blue luster caused by contamination. Those who've gotten in the water have sought treatment for stomach issues and for rashes. You know, they're social media influencers. How could they be expected to know the difference between contamination and a blue lagoon? They probably haven't even seen the Brooke Shields movie.
And it could be worse. They could have fallen off a cliff or been eaten by a bear. So,
right.
Not that bad.
Those videos are not posted yet. Yeah. I guess the Tom Brady one was. There's the cliff. Oh,
okay. So the Tom Brady gets ripped. And then do you see the little girl getting knocked into the air by the bison in Yellowstone?
How about her parents?
They ran.
When the bison charged
that's
their
what I'm
kid,
saying.
They
and they're
turned
ripping
and
Tom
ran.
Brady for jumping off a cliff with
while
his
while he held
girl.
His daughter's hand.
Right.
I mean, those parents pulled a Costanza. They just took off
they
running.
They did.
Yeah. Their name should be, not released because the public would say horrible things, and they already should know they're terrible people. It's 6:22. Nick, next.
That's it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men.
He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Well, we have our most striking evidence yet of the damage caused by the extreme weather caused by climate change. Nick DiGiulio went an entire weekend without seeing a movie.
What?
Yeah, because it was too hot to go outside to get back into the cool AC-controlled theaters. How long has it been since you went a weekend without going to a movie?
Well, no, I did go Sunday.
My folks
and I did not go on Saturday because it was 7,000 degrees outside.
I understand. So they didn't go, but you could not possibly go the weekend without going to a movie.
Right. And I saw one of the best movies of the year. I saw The Farewell, which is this extraordinarily beautiful film with Awkwafina about this Chinese family where the matriarch, the grandmother, is diagnosed with a disease, a fatal disease, and they decide not to tell her about it, which is something that happens in that culture. And it's a beautiful film. It's funny. It's really moving. I cried like a baby, and Awkwafina has established herself in this movie as a major force, and everybody else in it is great. It's actually one of the best movies of the year.
You have to suspend your disbelief a little bit that there wouldn't be a doctor that would tell the woman what was up, or is it easy to understand
based on
how the script is?
It's a thing that's in that Eastern culture. That it's told to the family first, and it's their decision whether or not they want to tell the person.
Okay.
And it is established and really amazing. And one of the things that's really great about the film, and I love the film from last year that Awkwafina was in.
Crazy
Rich Asians, which I thought was really great, but it was sort of more westernized than this one. This is like, here's a lesson about the culture that you're going to get. I mean, Crazy Rich Asians was a really great movie, and it was beautifully, populated with Asian characters that you don't see very often. Like, every single person in that movie was Asian. It was great to see that. But this is a movie where it's not westernized at all. You are immersed in that culture, and you learn about it, but it's also universal. It's a beautiful film, and it's one of the best
it's
of the year.
The Farewell.
Yeah.
What about this Once Upon a Time in Hollywood from Quentin Tarantino?
Man, I hope it's good. You know, I like Quentin Tarantino. He makes movies that are long. That's my only sort of concern about this one is, you know, I like the last one a lot, Hateful Eight, but Django Unchained is at least a half an hour too long. And he's never made a movie after Reservoir Dogs, his first movie. Every single movie he's made after that has been well over 2 hours.
And do we know how long this is?
It's 2 hours, 44 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, but you got two major movie stars. You got Al Pacino. You got and then like your two maybe major young movie stars, or not young, but big movie stars: Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, Margot Robbie's in this movie. And you know, it's the 50th anniversary. If you want to celebrate that, it's the 50th anniversary of the Tate LaBianca murders, if that's something you want to celebrate. But it the subplot involves the Charles Manson murders, and everything about this movie that I've heard is very, very good. And you know, Tarantino has made some of my favorite movies, and I'm really hoping that this one is good. And it's getting a very wide release, which is interesting. But I don't think it'll be number one at the box office. I think that Lion King will still be number one at the box office this weekend.
Strategy from the movie company, so people understand it, is if you have a very wide release, you either have a blockbuster or you've got a movie where you want to make a lot of money in the opening weekend based on reputation because you're not sure it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's either or. There's no middle.
No, you're absolutely right. And especially with a movie like this, especially with the Tarantino movie, where you've got it's R-rated, it's got a very controversial subject. It takes place in 1969, trying to recreate the world of Hollywood. That's kind of a limited niche. To release it in July in like thousands of theaters is kind of unusual, especially if it's 2 hours and 40 minutes long. But we'll see what happens. And also, you know, it's unusual that they release a movie like this in July as opposed to the fall, because this is one of those movies that might get a lot of Oscar buzz.
Well, and also the dead of winter, where people would go and sit in a movie theater for two hours and 40 minutes.
Exactly. You start seeing these movies late fall. That's usually when you see the ones that are going to be nominated for Academy Awards. So it's an interesting strategy to see how they're releasing this film. But, I'm curious about it. I hope it's really good. Like I said, I loved his last one, and I hope this one's good.
As usual, the PPG Paints Green Room is where we hide all of our guests until they're able to be brought out in the light of day, and Pat Brady and Eric Adelstein are there. I'll recap the Mueller report in a second. How long has it been since you went an actual weekend without seeing a movie? When you were a kid?
Oh, man.
Like, were you ever...
No. You know,
I mean, that's like calling in sick for other people. When was the last time you called in sick to work, work being you going to a movie?
Oh, man. Boy. You know, and I can't even remember. I was sick a few weeks ago. I remember I took a couple of days off. And I think it was the middle of June when I came down with something. And that was the last time. But I try to at least see two movies a weekend.
Yeah, and I mean,
every weekend.
So that weekend you were sick in June, you actually didn't make it to a movie on the weekend?
I did not, yes.
Okay, because that, my point being, obviously, that is a very rare occurrence. That's the Halley's Comet. That's Nick not going to the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, no upcoming movie club because they're still renovating the theater. You'll know soon when you're back in.
Yeah. September, we should probably be back in. We'll pick a movie and we'll let you know what it is. But I just want to let everybody know that at the AMC Rosemont Theater, the theater that we use is on the second floor. It's the beautiful Premier Theater. And we don't want to use any other theater because we want the best projection. We want the best, you know, theater. And they're remodeling the whole thing. They're bringing in the whole leather recliner thing. It's going to be beautiful. They're putting up the new sound system and everything. So we should be up in September. So no film club in August.
Enjoy your day, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Nick DiGilio. It is 6:33. Stand by. Just a second. We'll get to the headlines on 720 WGN.
Russia committed federal crimes in order to help Donald Trump.
When you're talking about the computer crimes in the charge in our case, absolutely.
The Trump campaign officials built their strategy, their messaging strategy around those stolen documents?
Generally, that's true.
And then they lied to cover it up.
And generally, that's true.
Congressman Adam Schiff with Robert Mueller yesterday. Well, there's good TV and there's bad TV. Good TV. 9 o'clock CL TV hour, MTP Daily, Meet the Press, Bad TV, yesterday's hearings. And TV does matter. Chuck Todd, good morning, my friend.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice to talk to you again. Have you missed me?
It has been the single biggest problem of my summer.
You almost couldn't get that out.
I know. Within a reasonable amount. Miss, define miss.
Oh, yeah, exactly. All right, here's the thing. And we don't know if there's something beyond being a 75-year-old man that's affecting Robert Mueller to the point where he had trouble during his testimony yesterday. Two things. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change the facts one bit. But the other piece of this is, how could the Democrats not have known he wouldn't be a good witness?
And I think it's the second part here that I think is, or how about this? Not understand the witness that they had. And if they wanted the witness to be an ally, okay, then they should have put the witness in the best possible way, position, to give to them what they wanted. Well, here's what I learned yesterday. They should have started in chronological order. And they should have started with the crime. They should have started with part one of the Mueller report, what the Russians did. Because, number one, Mueller was more interested in that topic. Okay, he was more animated about it. That was pretty clear from the morning into the afternoon. Number two, you can't understand what was obstructed if you don't understand the initial crime. And so yesterday, you're asking viewers. So here was what we were supposed to do. Like the Mueller report was supposed to, Mueller was supposed to bring the report to life. But how do you bring a story to life when you take the story and start halfway, take it to the end, and then you come back and say, oh, by the way, here's the beginning part of the story, and you do that at the end? It made no sense. And I think that's why the obstruction, frankly, is hard for the public to follow. I just think it is.
So how could they not have been better organized? Or is there someone between Pelosi and the top, other members of her inner circle, who said, we'll put Mueller out, and then we'll have an excuse not to pursue impeachment?
No, I mean, I do think they saw Mueller as a way. I think the pro-impeachment crowd thought Mueller was their, they couldn't get Pelosi to acquiesce to impeachment, so they'll be like, all right, well, maybe if we get Mueller to testify, then they'll be more open to impeachment. Well, the answer to that, I think, now is no. So I do think that the Democrats just haven't thought this through. They thought it through, but they didn't think about it. They didn't plan yesterday as well as they could have.
Well, I guess what I'm asking you then, what does that say about the larger effort? I mean, we don't know who their candidate is. They saw the template.
Well, there's no urgency. I would say this. And this is where if the president, and frankly, I put this on Mueller, too. The Democrats yesterday decided to try to canonize Mueller, right? At any moment, you my God, you got this merit in Vietnam, and you did this, and, it was always, it became St. Bobby at some point, right? But there was a point where, should they have treated this hearing as the beginning of impeachment, then they should have announced this morning the inquiry starts now. I think there's no urgency here. If you believe he's an existential threat, then yesterday's hearing should have had more urgency to it. And when even Mueller doesn't bring urgency, it is hard to sit there and say, okay, let's put the country through impeachment. And I think Democrats were kind of hoping Mueller would at least tip his hand, and he didn't.
Well, we wake up this morning and the facts remain the facts. For the vast majority of people who haven't read the report or will see the clips online, what has bigger impact and where do we go from here?
I think we all know the reality of what penetrates and what doesn't. My fear is that the people that watched Mueller yesterday already know the story, already know everything. They were watching as sports fans rather than watching as viewers. Maybe I'll be wrong and we'll see something. But, Congress is about to go out for its August recess.
6 weeks, by the way, kid. 6 weeks vacation.
Right. If the president of the United States is a national security threat, then you don't have time for a 6-week recess. Yeah, that would be what I would argue.
Yeah, no, 100%. And Fox News and the president taking a victory lap because they didn't get caught is the world we're now living in. It's pretty remarkable.
Which to me could actually motivate some Democrats to say, wait a minute, what are they celebrating?
Right.
And you know, I do think there is a balance here that the Republicans, the more gleeful they look, the more Democrats could dig in.
They're laughing behind the scenes. They're shouting in front of the cameras. And again, the facts haven't changed. I agree with you 100%. There ought to be urgency. There isn't any urgency. And that's probably what should be disappointing people.
That's what's demoralizing about this. I happen to be one of these folks that thinks that we have destabilized the world.
Yep.
I'm very concerned about where we're headed. And I know that there's a lot of members that are individually concerned, but the lack of collective urgency on all this that I thought yesterday made even clearer is demoralizing as an American citizen. We're powerless, right? We've got pencils and tape recorders. We don't have the ability to convene a hearing or to marshal the resources of the Constitution here. And I think that's something that I think history is not going to look kindly on. And I think this is what has Democrats have asked themselves. Impeachment politically may feel uncomfortable in the moment. How's this decision going to look in 5 years?
Well, that's
I brought this up to you before, about a month ago. Remember the Iraq war vote?
Yep.
In the moment, if politically Democrats thought, oh, we better side with the president here, 5 years later, that became a problem, having been for the Iraq war vote. And in fact, it's Joe Biden is still dealing with it. Hillary Clinton's not president because of it. I think plenty of House Democrats and plenty of Democrats need to think about what will this look like in 5 years, not just 5 months.
Yeah, the fundamental change this makes to the democracy and to the presidency, it doesn't end when Donald Trump leaves, whenever he leaves.
No, that's right.
What are we watching on TV Sunday with you?
Oh, I imagine we're going to deal with more of this sort of Mueller impeachment fallout, because it does feel like this is the moment. We're at a do-or-die moment on impeachment. And if we're not anywhere closer, sort of, by the weekend, we may not get there.
Sound like you're getting on a train. What's your go-to snack on the train?
I'm headed to a plane. I'm headed on the plane here. Headed back to we did our Mueller coverage from New York.
Oh yeah,
yesterday,
yeah.
So I'm headed back to DC this morning.
Do you go peanuts? Are you a peanuts guy, or what do you have on the plane?
I'm usually an almonds guy.
Almonds.
A peanut.
Oh, very healthy.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, I know. I'm a total health snob. I'm a health geek.
So, all right. Thank you for this, as always. You know, I appreciate it.
You know it, brother.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you Sunday. That's Chuck Todd, MTP Daily as well today, 4 o'clock Chicago time. Pat Brady's here. Hi, Pat.
Morning, Steve.
Go ahead, turn your microphone on, Pat. You know where that.
Morning,
button is.
Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We'll get your I hate the word take, but we'll get your take on this in just a moment. But nice job as always on Channel 9 yesterday. How's our friend Lourdes Duarte?
She's great. She's a little baby coming at the
end of August.
End of August, yeah.
She's gonna work. She's gonna have the baby on TV for ratings.
Yeah, wait till February, whenever. You know, she like, you know how happy moms are. Mm-hmm. You see a happy mom, she just looks like she's very happy, and she's gonna be a great mom.
She is gonna be a great mom, no question. And nice job by you yesterday. All right, this is it. A break, and then we're back on 720 WGN.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller testified for 6 hours in front of two different congressional committees. It was a marathon.
Yeah.
I know my nipples were bleeding.
Well, you should get that checked. It's 6:57. I want to say hi to a couple of folks. First off, Phil Anselmo. He's the boss at Men's Warehouse on Route 59. Right there at Aurora and Naperville, right on the border. And also Glenn, Lewin. Glenn, longtime pal, listener to the show. Saw them both the other day. And they're great people at that store. So you should go there. I get nothing for saying that. I'm just telling you, they're great people.
I'll check it out.
So, also, tonight, I will be emceeing a company kickoff at the Plaza at Park Grill. I'll tell you more about this later, but Dan Hampton and the band are one of four bands playing. They're going to open the thing up, I think, a little after 6 o'clock.
The Chicago Six.
That's it. It's right in front of the Bean at the Plaza at Park Grill, 11 North Michigan Avenue. Going to be a beautiful night for it. And, you know, Hamp always wants me to sing with the band.
Of course. Of course.
It's the way he says, get off the stage, Steve, that makes me think he really wants me to sing with the band. But anyway, this guy that is throwing his kickoff party and spending all his money on this, is his name is Ron Lang. He was an intern of mine at The Loop in the 90s. Very funny guy, very talented guy, great guy to hang around, lots of fun. And he has this event planning company that he's starting after doing a bunch of event planning for somebody else in partnership, and he's going to be great at it. So we'll do a kickoff party tonight.
You got a busy couple nights.
And tomorrow night, we have you and I opening the Hawks Convention, and then I'm hosting the Verar Coast and the Variety Show with... hey, by the way, how come Burrish hasn't been on this week? What's that about? I'm co-hosting with Burrish? Is he cranky that I'm co-hosting with him? I'm the one that approved him.
Oh, is that right? He'll be glad to hear that.
No, Burrish and I are friends. We get along all the time. But why can't he get up and get on the show and we can talk about this? Let's get him on tomorrow. 6:59 and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve will be next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, it is 7:12, and Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein are here as we reunite the band after, I don't know, about a month. That's what summer will do to you. And by the way, Eric, I know that your daughter and the last kid in your house are all preparing for college.
Yeah.
And I was warning you, and I'm warning all parents. Dave, you went through this.
Yes, I did.
After you say goodbye to your kid, after the school kicks you out, after they have their little parents-kids meeting, you will feel like you're sending your child off to war as you look around the parking lot and they're attending a nice, safe, comfortable school and you're all crying on each other's shoulders. But the weird part, and I think you're handling this well, because I know you and your wife are going to go on a little mini vacation after that, is you can't go home right away.
Yeah. That's what everybody says. Just go somewhere. Don't go back to that empty house right away.
But, no, I can't go
but isn't there there's a big difference. This is my fourth and you had two. Dave, you had two, right?
Yeah.
Number one, very emotional. Boy, this is going to be terrible. Number four, I just dropped her off at O'Hare. I didn't even get out of the car. Call me when you...
It was the flip for me because my wife cried when we dropped my daughter off. And the first one. And the second one, I was the basket case. And she was like, fine.
I'm a basket case for everybody. I cried when these two left their daughters on the airport this morning.
I might cry at all, but then
goes, see ya.
But then somebody said, then they come home for Christmas, and you're like, they're still here. When do they go back?
Well,
to
that's
school?
The thing; they always come home.
Yeah. But here's the thing
they
that
come back.
I'm sure you saw this with the girls, but the thing that will surprise you isn't she. I'm sure she's a responsible kid anyway. But they show grown-up stuff they didn't know before they come home, like Ross in particular. Take the dishes out of the dishwasher, put them away. You know, just things you didn't force them to do.
Right.
As normal parents would, because as Pat's pointed out, our generation ruined America.
You mean like college might actually work?
I think on one level.
Okay.
Yeah, on one level. Property taxes. We'll get to the Mueller stuff. Property taxes. You just got whacked.
Yeah.
I think I'm about stable. How about you?
Stable but high, but I'm in Kane County. I'm in St. Charles, and I can't really complain because the quality of the schools is so good.
What about the irregularity of this? Why are people in your neighborhood getting hit?
Well, in defense of it, and not that I would defend getting higher taxes.
You'd like to pay more?
But the new assessor, Fritz Kage, he came in with a theory that people in South Suburban Cook County and South and West Sides were over-assessed. And people in wealthier areas on the north side, north suburbs, were under-assessed. And if you look at the numbers, he's not wrong. Now, how you adjust and how you put those things in is where the sticker shock comes in.
Yeah, the equitability of it is important.
That's right.
We don't know that we've been able to achieve that balance. Is that the message?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the other problem is we're not out of the woods here, particularly in the city, with, you know, the Board of Education, obviously CPS and Cook County. You may be looking at higher property taxes coming down the pike as well. So, you know, it's a challenge for any elected official these days.
Well, the other kind of second part to that is the property taxes on the commercial real estate.
Well, that's right.
Which he's trying to reform, but got shot down in Springfield last
year. Well, and that's the big scam. I mean, and you know, Chris Kennedy talked about this. Is there's a statute that says if you want to appeal a commercial assessment, you have to hire a lawyer. So what's gone on for decades, Pat, as you know, is the assessor's office, they over
assess. And then you say, well, how can you do that? Like, well, just go hire a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just becomes a
And if you're a commercial business, there's about two firms you can go to, and one of them is Madigan's.
And there's a bunch of them, but
Yeah, but one of them is Madigan's.
But it used to be a percentage, too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, it's...
It's a great country.
Lori Lightfoot yesterday called the FOP. Steve, help me out with the terminology. The FOP individual at the event with her mic live and her not knowing it. What, a clown?
Yeah, it's the Fraternal Order of Police Vice President Patrick Murray called him an FOP clown.
With her mic on.
Yeah.
Saw that.
Yeah, I have the audio here if you guys
can. Oh, yeah, let me hear it.
All right, here we go.
The next speaker is Pat Murray.
No, back again. This is FOP clown.
That's so bad. That's so bad.
Hey, at least there's not a swear word in there.
It's so good, though. I mean, it's just so authentic. Like,
oh, is that your cell?
Yeah.
Look, here's how you handle this, right? You apologize.
Yeah.
Because, frankly, in the real world, if that's how she feels about him, she ought to tell him to his face. And you guys are going to miss Rom. Rom used to tell people he hated all of them. But tell him to his face, not on a mic, on an accident. And when you're caught on an accident like that, then just say, yeah, I shouldn't have said it.
She did say she shouldn't have said it.
When her apology was more like, I'm sorry you heard it.
FOP clown.
Could not be more clear.
I might want to make that my ringtone. I don't know. No disrespect to the FOP, but it's...
Isn't it important for the mayor to get along with the Fraternal Order of Police?
Well, this goes... well beyond this, and this guy's, I think, been a thorn in her side.
He's a clown, I hear.
Apparently. A good clown or a bad clown?
Happy no, he's a clown. Bad clown. Yeah, yeah. Bad clown. Yeah,
don't tell Kramer.
Pat, we'll get to the Springfield change in the world, but what is this Madigan story?
Well, there was a lead story in the Trib yesterday, and this has been going on for a while. I guess it executed some search warrants and some people close to Madigan relating to his organization, and apparently some checks went from some people to Kevin Quinn, who was knocked out of the Madigan organization for some allegations of sexual harassment. So it seems like there's a lot of activity with the federal government directed towards the Madigan operation, which is something I've never seen that focused.
And before we take the break, Eric, did Pat tell you about his new business?
No.
This goes right back to City Hall.
What's he doing?
Well, I noticed, and I mean, you're a business guy. Been over at City Hall a lot. Nobody will talk or talk on the phone.
The mayor will.
The mayor will.
But she only talk on mics and she doesn't know
about. We're not, but I was going to, you know those food trucks?
Yeah.
Steve and I are going to open up a burner phone business.
It's a burner phone truck.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
A politician, you can stop by, pick up your burner phone, go to the next truck over, get a sandwich.
Can you get like a burrito or something and as you...
May expand, but we're going to start with
just the phones.
Our consultant says stay with one, one business line.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe some marijuana in January.
Are you taking investors, or are you just going to sell funds?
Just on the podcast.
We would, but we heard about your property tax situation. We just can't ask at this point. It's 7:18. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
the most valuable person on the planet.
You know, a lot of people hear life coach, and how you think about things and they roll their eyes. Let me tell you something. The story of Suzanne Wynn can make you rethink all of that if that's where you are, you cynical listener, you. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great. And anybody that could help make this world a more positive place, I think that's a good thing. So let me tell your story and you fill in the blanks. You're 22 years old. You lost your right arm. Was it a car accident?
It was. It was in a car accident. You're right.
So you go into depression. Understandable. You don't want to be around people. You're bitter. Also understandable. You literally have to grieve the loss of the limb, don't you?
Absolutely. It was my dominant arm as well.
So all of this happens. What changes your world where you come to today, where you want to help people who are going through tough times and people that just need help to see the world as a better place?
You know what? It took many, many years, a lot of time and effort and dedication and a lot of love, a lot of self-care. But the turning point was really just, it was so exhausting being bitter and being negative. And I just went through depression, and I isolated myself from everyone and anyone because I felt like they didn't understand what I was going through. But years of being depressed and being negative and bitter just took a toll on my body. And I had a turning point, and that's when I decided I wanted to be better instead of being bitter. And after I was able to coach myself through that horrific situation, I started realizing that I was able to help others. And I feel like that is my purpose and my passion in life. I decided to take coaching classes. I opened up my own coaching practice by the name of BB&B Coaching, which is Be Better, Not Bitter. I have done several things. I wrote a book, One Arm But Not Unarmed, to be able to spread my message.
That's One Arm But Not Unarmed.
You got it. Isn't that a great name?
It is kind of good, yeah. Yeah, I bet you smiled wide when you got that. And what type of folks have been approaching you for help?
You know what? I feel like adversity is universal, right? We all go through some type of pain, regardless if it's losing a limb or losing a loved one. But I feel like we are all after the same result, which is to be able to heal. So it's people across the board losing loved ones, or you know, in a traumatic car accident, or losing themselves in their own battle, emotional pain that they're wanting to heal. So it's anyone and everyone that has battled with some type of pain. I help them to be able to recognize and confront and embrace the pain in order to heal and to be able to move forward.
Yeah, by the way, I'll be the first to tell you, we're not here ever to tell you don't seek professional therapy and counseling and all those things. But if you can take the tough spot you're in, turn it around, start feeling better about yourself, and start helping others, that can expedite your recovery. So that's why you're the most valuable person on the planet. If people want to know more about you, what do they do?
Go ahead and find me on social media, Stephen Winning, S-U-Z-A-N. Last name is N-G-U-I-E-N-I-N-G. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And also you can check out my website, which is bbnbcoaching.com. Check out my book, One Arm But Not Unarmed.
And we will post all of that for you driving this morning who didn't have time to write it down. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, and have a great day, guys.
You as well. Suzanne Wynn loses an arm, and now she's out there helping others. Meanwhile, back in our world, when we come back after the headlines, we will talk about yesterday's Robert Mueller testimony. Look, TV matters, and TV mattered yesterday. I don't know that TV is going to matter beyond the next couple of days, because we know Donald Trump's not going to change. We know the facts in the report didn't change, and we know the election is 15 months away. Agree? Disagree?
I don't think yesterday changed anything, but I do think it brought a certain punctuation point to it's time to do it or don't do it, for mm-hmm. sure. And I have some sort of strong opinions on how Democrats have mishandled this.
Well, I look forward to that after the news.
And I will agree with Eric on probably most of those strong opinions.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know where I'll fall, because I rarely listen to this show. At 728 312 981 7200 is the number for texters as well, and phone calls and stuff like that. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
I think Robert Mueller did a horrible job, both today and with respect to the investigation. But in all fairness to Robert Mueller, he had nothing to work with. You know, you can be a builder, but if they don't give you the right materials, you're not going to build a very good building. Robert Mueller had no material. He had nothing to work with. So obviously he did very poorly today. I don't think there's anybody, even among the fakers, I don't think there's anybody that would say he did well.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Couldn't be more proud. Could not be more proud. That's our president. President Donald J. This is the world we now live in, where John McCain, who spent 5 years in a prisoner of war camp, and it comes from a family of war heroes, and Robert Mueller, the former director of the FBI, who took a bullet in Vietnam after he went in, are publicly criticized and mocked by the President of the United States, who, oh, by the way, was a draft dodger and lied to not go. That's the world we live in now.
Yeah. It's it's the new normal, and unfortunately, it's become baked in. Hopefully, it will end at some point. Look, he's a vile human being. He's un-American. He's a liar. I think putting aside the optics of yesterday, the bottom line is crimes were committed, and it's pretty likely the President of the United States committed crimes. And were it not for this opinion of the Justice Department Office of Legal Counsel, the special counsel would have indicted him.
Okay, talk about that for a second, because, Pat, you know this is a thorn in my behind, even though my behind's small.
No, you don't have one.
Well, there's that, too. But the opinion, the policy of the Office of Legal Counsel, the OLC, it's not a law. It's right. An opinion. It's a policy. So why not challenge it? Why not court test it?
Defer to Pat, because I think because he was an employee of the Justice Department. He wasn't an independent counsel. So he had to follow the regulations of the Justice Department.
But if he says we should go forward,
yeah,
the Attorney General can shoot it down. But then it's the Attorney General who is protecting the President. And looks like the guy he ought to look like, because Barr basically is hiding now, and Barr is as big a problem in all of this as anybody.
I don't know, Pat. You know better than
No, I agree. Our Attorney General got up and completely misrepresented the facts in the report, and give the Trump people credit, they got away with it. So it sat there and festered for a couple weeks, where people said, "Oh, there's nothing in the report." Well, if you actually go read the report, it's pretty damaging. Most importantly, the Russians clearly tried to interfere in our elections, going back well before Donald Trump was even a nominee.
He absolutely obstructed justice. And if he was a citizen, he would be indicted.
Yeah, the OLC opinion, when you're at the Justice Department, you have to follow their rules.
Okay, but what happens?
Let me finish. Here's the deal. Congress could act. I don't think necessarily the Constitution prohibits indicting a sitting president. It's not in there anywhere. It says you can't. And it was litigated in the Nixon era. But Congress maybe needs to act. They may want to think about rethinking this. Remember, there was an independent counsel that was Ken Starr. This was Bob Mueller.
Special
counsel actually worked for the Justice Department. And when you've got a guy like Bill Barr who's willing to give cover, however deceitfully, for the president, he can do it. So this situation could happen again.
That's why they had the independent counsel law. But it expired,
it control.
Right?
I mean, well, they let it expire because when Ken Starr did the Clinton investigation, and remember, that started as Whitewater, a bad land deal, and ended up with Monica Lewinsky, and it went everywhere. And I think the thing that really angered people was the cost, how long it took. And then Ken Starr in the footnotes put all the salacious details. So it was not how a prosecutor should really handle things. I think Mueller did a much better job that way. But people were so fed up with the independent counsel law, they let it lapse and did this thing.
Here's the other thing that troubles me greatly, and it troubles me about my party and our response. Mueller also said, there's no question the Russians are going to try to interfere with our next election.
And they're doing it while we sit here.
And we as Democrats, we sort of cede this ground and allow the Republicans to talk about being patriots and, you know, protecting America and all that stuff. We ought to be screaming from the rafters that we have an administration and a Republican Party that is allowing a foreign power who's an enemy of this country to affect our democracy. Forget the outcomes. Forget that it's pro-Trump or anti-Trump. We have an administration that is acting in un-American ways, colluding in a way by not doing anything about it, with a foreign power who are poisoning our democracy. We should be screaming that every day.
But you know better than anybody on this. And I was going to ask Chuck this. What is the tipping point on this? Because there are issues like in the last election that really hit home, like health care. And that's why the Democrats did so well here, other than the Trump hangover, too. But when is there a tipping point with this issue that gets people's attention? Do we need to be attacked again?
I guess. I mean, sometimes you have to have the worst thing happen. You know, right now people are running around, well, the stock market keeps growing, you know, and you have these people who are not necessarily political who say, oh yeah, he's a clown and he's vile and he's a horrible human being and I wish he wouldn't tweet, but you know, my 401k is doing well.
I'd love to see people quantify that, because people don't take the effort really of going and looking at the actual number. So let's say you make $1,000 more in the next year and a half in your 401k. That's the price you're paying to have this guy be president.
Right. And what's the cost to your kids' future and your grandkids' future?
Well, here's where I think the Democrats have made a mistake. And we talked about this before. Everything they react to, I think he could hang himself if you just let him go.
Right.
Like when the squad came out 10 days ago, and rightfully so, they're angry. But it did nothing but give him somebody to yell at.
Well, I think the this is sort of the sad genius of Trump, and the media plays into this as much as the party does, this sort of breathless response to every time this guy does something outrageous, which is exactly the result he wanted. And I've said this on this show before, I'll keep saying it, the best response, I think, was Stacey Abrams, who says you can't take it seriously. You can't. You
have to think about it. I don't disagree with you. But here's the conundrum, and you know this because you're in this business. You have to cover the president of the United States.
Agreed.
How you cover the president can change, but you can't ignore him being a jackass on a day-to-day basis.
Why does it have to be this breathless, you're not going to believe what the president tweeted today?
But that's how he won the primary.
Right.
Even in the primary, he got billions of dollars of free coverage because he was the one doing all the... how we won the Republican primary.
CNN helped elect Donald Trump by putting him on three times a day, every day. Fox gets all the credit. CNN gets a good chunk of the blame. And Hillary gets a good chunk of the blame because she didn't want to be accessible.
But if you're going to basically make an editorial judgment by saying, oh, what he did today was outrageous, news coverage of the tweet, why not, if you're going to editorialize, say, like, there he goes again, our immature president acting like a fourth grader. He put out a tweet and, you know, warning to our viewers, we have to cover this because he's the president of the United States, but our news department doesn't think this is...
I'd love to see that out-of-the-box thinking. I'd love to see it.
It's just a different approach than this breathlessness.
Boy, but you watch. I watched last night an hour on either side, far right and left. And it's about making money. There's no news.
Absolutely.
That's not journalism. I go, oh, my God. They're talking about calling more witnesses.
Yeah.
Fox has taken a victory lap about... I mean, just pause and think for a second. Fox is taking a victory lap about the president celebrating that he didn't get caught yesterday, or his life didn't get more dangerous yesterday in regards to going to jail, when the guy sat there and said, if he wasn't the president, he'd be indicted.
You know, I think there's a cautionary tale... again, I'm probably going to get in deep waters by saying this, but there's a Jane Mayer piece on Al Franken.
Mm-hmm.
Just that sort of a timetable on how the whole thing went down. And again, whether you think he should have resigned or not, what didn't come out at the time, what has now come out, is the radio station in L.A. where this initial accuser worked, mm-hmm, was a right-wing station that was trying to become the Trump station in the L.A. market. And they first posted the story without contacting the senator's office for a response. They just put it on their website, and they tweeted it out. And the rest of the world went berserk before Franken even had a chance to respond.
And it was a guy named Drew Hayes, who used to run WLS here, who went to L.A.
My point is, to what you're saying, Pat, it's about speed and about revenue, and it's no longer about accuracy and any sort of journalistic ethics. Now, there are journalists out there trying to do that, but you know, even New York Times, Wall Street Journal, these mainstream papers would say in 2016 when they put Trump in an online headline, it was clickbait, and people would click on it. And he plays into that, and I'm just saying when we continue to cover him breathlessly, the outrage, we've continued to play into it.
Well, here's the thing, being critical of the Democrats, this is the reality. This is the new reality, and I don't like it either, but it doesn't seem like they're playing ball. They haven't figured out what to do.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all, and they're somehow, you know, in a way being... Look, it's a little bit like when you play poker against someone who doesn't play by any of the rules and doesn't do anything predictable. It's really hard to play against them. But what you can't do is, as you said, react to every one of their crazy moves. You can't.
Well, we've never had anyone like this.
No.
And God willing, we never will, provided we survive till next November.
But the thing
we've never had anyone who cares zero about what people say about him, but cares really a lot about what people say about him. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't have a mirror. He has no self-realization. And because of that, he loves that there's 40% of the country that lines up behind him, because 40% of people never have before.
You know,
he's so damaged as a human being.
We've had a lot of flawed presidents. There's no question about it. But I think most of them, if not all, you could say at some level loved this country and at some level believed in something bigger than themselves.
Yep.
I don't think this guy does.
But here's the last thing I wanted to ask you about or discuss. All that being said, which I agree with, I don't think the Democrats win on just Trump's a moron.
No.
And I haven't seen, I don't know what the message, I saw Kamala Harris, whom I like, I heard her give an answer on CNN on healthcare. She basically wants to take private health insurance away, when she kind of danced around it. But I mean, what's their message going to be?
Right.
I mean, well, I know Hillary struggled with that, and I'm not asking you to define it.
I mean, look, in defense, whenever you have multiple candidates, and now we have 20, you always have this like, oh my God, there's no leader, there's no message. You know, when there's a nominee and the race is defined, I think it will be clear. But I agree with you. We have to set up our own vision. What does America look like post-Trump? What's the world we want it to be? And, you know, one of my criticisms of the whole stuff with the four and the go back to your country is, it's again, it's not enough to just say, oh, that's racist or that's offensive. Why does that affect everyone else?
Right. That's
why is it bad for the rest of us when we demonize a group?
Yeah,
why does it hurt everyone else? Right. Instead of this just, again, moralizing, say, oh my God, he's racist. People know he's racist or he's playing the racist card. Why does that hurt this country?
Well, I think we've reached that crossing over point more than ever where he's never going to change. So pointing out that he needs to change is pointless.
It's stupid. But more importantly, we need a leader who gives us a vision for why that's un-American.
And point out why that's possible.
Why that is a negative.
Here's Steve and I talk about this often. The effect of the Trumpism of the country, we saw it here in Illinois last week.
Yeah.
You saw what the Republican Party, the county chairman, put out this racist ad that went around and got pulled down and with no response, no real apology. A lot of condemnation from leadership, which was good, of Republicans. But then the Democrats down in Kankakee County did a racist thing with Klan hats, with MAGA, whatever it is. But the point is, some staffer thinks that's okay.
Right.
And that's how politics is played. Remember when Lee Atwater apologized for the Willie Horton ad before he died. He goes, it was really a mistake. Point is, Trump's the dialogue now, it's acceptable to do that stuff. Some people believe that.
That's right.
When we come back, a little more of this and a little more of that, and I will give you the exact number of days until Election Day next year so you can put it in your calendar now because you got to vote. And that's the scary thing, that this will send people to not voting.
Although
I don't have a candidate I like, I'm not going to vote for Trump.
I do think we're going to have an historic turnout.
I think so, too. And historic. I hope you're right.
I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I think we're going to have an historic
turnout. Isn't that amazing that you could say I don't know what the outcome's going to be?
It is.
According to Robert Mueller, the president can be charged with obstruction of justice once he leaves office. So you know what that means. Trump is never leaving office.
Something from Late Show with Trevor Noah. Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein are here. I mentioned 467 days until November 3rd, 2020. I'm not even half kidding when I tell you right now, put it on your calendar so you know you can't plan anything else for that day. And when that day comes, it's just going to be a day where you have things to do, but you've already made a plan to vote. Because we must assume that he, the orange one, will still be in office then, even there's a lot of things that could happen between now and then, and you have no excuse not to vote. Put it on your schedule right now.
Can I make a suggestion, Steve? I think you should remind people who in your listener states what their registration deadlines are, too, because some people may not even be registered to vote and may want to participate.
And we, with all the faults of Illinois government, we make it easier than just about anybody.
We do. Yep.
To register. You can register when you get a fill up at a gas station, practically.
Yeah, I will find you the laws of the four states that picked this up, and we will.
Well, we're all over the country, so you're going to have to give us all 50.
Oh, man. That's what I get for raising my hand.
There's 50 states?
There's 50 now. Yeah. I was just as surprised as you are.
Wow.
Where does this go from here? Where does this go today, tomorrow? And does Robert Mueller, an American hero, not being completely on his game as he turns 75, does that become fodder for election commercials next year? I mean, this is your business. Mm. If Republicans came to you and you were willing to do that business and said, we really think you ought to put clips of his hearing in, would you do it?
Sure. If I thought it was effective, I'm not sure that would be effective. I think what Democrats should have done yesterday is take clips of questions and his answers that were relevant and put together a sizzle reel of that, because it would have said, you know.
Well, frankly, it ought to be on the air right now.
It should. Yeah. It should be running all the time. So, look.
They could have done that with the first 4 minutes.
Absolutely.
Game over, because the questions were good questions.
They were really good. So where do we go from here? I mean, look, I think we've Democrats and look, I don't envy Speaker Pelosi. She is trying to hold together a difficult caucus these days. Really tough job. But I think in delaying whether to impeach or not impeach, you are making it seem more political versus just a decision on the merits of whether crimes were committed.
And doing your job as oversight.
And I've been gone back and forth. It's not an easy call, but I think you know, as Chuck Todd and you said earlier this morning, where are we 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And I guess, yes, the mentality of, oh, my goodness, if we impeach him and he's not removed, does it give him strength in the election? I think that's got to be a secondary consideration, because we are, in a sense, accepting that what he did was okay by not calling it out.
Yeah. And how do you call out the next one who does something similar?
Right. Now, the downside, as we know, is we may head into an era where whatever party is not in control of the White House will try to impeach the president, and it becomes just this partisan tool. But
another reason for you to register, vote, and be informed.
Yeah.
So, Pat?
I agree with that. I think impeachment's a bad idea for the country, and I agree that if we start doing it every other president, we're going to be a banana republic.
What do you say to your kids? How do you explain this? What do you say to your kids?
I had this argument with my son, Patrick, and he goes, Dad, how can you do this? Don't you stand for this? I'm like, no, I just think it's a bad thing for the country. This guy will have his day in court. He's got 12 investigations going to the Southern District of New York. Whatever people were saying about Bob Mueller saying that he can be indicted for this after he leaves, the reality is he's never going to be indicted for it, because the Attorney General also issued an opinion that he didn't think that this was enough to indict him on. So he's never going to be charged with the things in the Mueller report.
What about the SDNY stuff?
Well, they got all kinds of stuff. They're looking at his tax returns. They're looking at his business. I think, and that's where the real risk to him is. I don't really care what happens to him. I just don't think he's a good president, and we need to go in a different direction. But if
you're really going out on a limb, you don't think he's a good president?
The thing is, I'm still a human being.
I'm still a Republican, and I don't like what he's done to the party. We just now have a budget that's $320 billion out of whack. We're not conservatives anymore, and I'm a conservative believer in the conservative approach to government, and this guy's not a conservative. So I think in the areas that matter, like in the suburbs for us, we need to get back on our message that will carry the day beyond the Trump era.
You need the dental records to identify the Republican Party at this point from what they once were. Illinois, 28 days prior to Election Day is your deadline by mail. You can register in person on Election Day. It doesn't get much easier than that. Online, 16 days before Election Day. Indiana, similar rules. It's 29 days in person by mail before Election Day. Online, 29 days before Election Day. Can't do it day of in Indiana. In Iowa, 10 days before Election Day. If you miss a deadline, you can also register to vote on Election Day in Iowa. By mail, it's 15. Online, it's 10. And Michigan, in person, 30 days before Election Day. Postmark, 30 days before Election Day. Michigan doesn't do online registration, which I didn't know.
Hey, I got a thing I read in Parenting Magazine where I tell my kids they don't have a home if they don't vote.
Well, and I
yeah, it's your new article.
I've said it before, Steve. I think that the mantra has to be to people, you can't complain if you don't vote. So.
Well, that's why you've invested in my "if you don't vote, don't bitch" line of clothing.
Exactly.
Because my fashion wear, as you know, is well thought of. I'm looking up Wisconsin quickly here so I don't leave Wisconsin out, because I love Wisconsin. In person on Election Day, postmark 20 days before Election Day, 20 days before Election Day for online voting as well. Point being, you have 467 days.
And Michigan and Wisconsin could be the states, right, Eric?
Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania will probably decide whether Trump has four more years or not. Sorry.
Just such an idiotic conversation considering the world.
And the truth is, he will likely lose the popular vote by 5 million plus,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But could still eke out an Electoral College win.
It's 8:02. Thank you, both of you, for coming
in. Thanks.
In your bright, shiny rainbows and puppies you've brought to the show today. We're back with your headlines in the Northwestern area of the news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dan Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
live from Phoenix, Arizona, because he misses the heat. Dean Richards joins us. Good morning, Dean.
You know, I say to myself, Dean, why are you talking to yourself? Where could I possibly go where it would be even hotter than it's been in Chicago?
And you
and
found
it. Me here to the Valley of the Sun.
What's the high today, do you know?
I believe it's going to be near 100 degrees here in Phoenix.
You know, in the summertime, it regularly goes to 110, 115, and people always go, yeah, but it's a dry heat. At 115, who cares? It's 115.
Yeah. It actually actually has been uncharacteristically humid here. They're going through what they call their monsoon season because they get a little rain. By, you know, by our standards of rain, it's rain. It's not a big deal. But when they get rain here, it's a big deal, and they call it monsoon season. But be that as it may, it has made the area a little more humid. It's very much like it was in Chicago last week. It's super hot and super humid, and I'm a sticky mess.
What are you doing in Phoenix?
I'm just doing some family business here in the Phoenix area, but I'm headed to a super secret location to interview Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
The Rock never wants to be secret. He likes being on TV more than Trump.
He does like he enjoys his TV time, and he enjoys his Twitter time also. So,
but it's super secret. This is to promote what movie?
He's got a new movie called Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. These are the this is a character that he played in Fast and Furious, along with Jason Statham, who plays, I forget which is Hobbs. I think Johnson is Hobbs, and Statham is Shaw.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
But it's a spinoff. It's a spinoff of the Fast and Furious movies. So, you know, I'm sure it'll be up for Academy Award consideration.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
I do. And Fast and Furious, next movie, Dean, we just got the working title, is Fast and Furious. I can't believe you people still pay for this. That's the next Fast and Furious movie.
People love those movies. People love those movies. Sometimes you just want a little, you know, you don't want anything a little too challenging. Just want a little fun up on the big screen. You don't really need to see somebody who falls in love with a sea creature.
I would sort of like to see, Dave, I don't know how you feel about this, but I would like to see The Rock and Jason Statham do Shakespeare in the Park.
Oh, it'd be great. Yeah, it'd be great. Dean, are you going to ask about that show he does that it's like Battle of the Titans or whatever? It's sort of like Ninja Warrior, but kind of crazier, where two guys are climbing up this artificial mountain.
They get whacked with giant Nerf bats.
Yeah, stuff hitting them on their way. That's probably not why you're there.
I'll see what kind of, you know, if I have time.
No, here's what I want you to do. I want you to open with that American Ninja Warriors ripoff you did. is that coming back?
Okay. That's question number one. And then when they escort me from the room, that will be question number two.
Just start.
And shut your mouth.
Just start chanting as they drag you out.
Rock Johnson, people ask all the time who are the nicest celebrities.
Right?
He is definitely one of the nicest.
But when he hugs you, it hurts because he's very strong.
He's a very, very large man. That's very, very true. I feel petite next to him. I like interviewing him because he makes me feel petite.
It was like 6 months ago, Dean talked to The Rock, and he gave him a bro hug and broke four of Dean's ribs.
Yeah. I'm just recovering from that now.
Does he only do interviews in the weight room?
Yes. He's going to be deadlifting me while he...
We had one of the contestants from that Titans show in here. He's a student at University of Wisconsin. This is about, I think you were on vacation.
Yeah, Steve, I don't remember.
And he's from the area, and he was talking about The Rock called him to tell him that he had made the show and talked about what a great guy he was. I mean, just so nice to the contestants.
So you're saying Dean's telling the truth?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, in a world of lies, Dave, it's important that Dean
be
truthful.
Every once in a while, you catch me telling the truth about something.
All right, so when we come back, we have a couple of show business questions. Are you taking questions?
I am taking questions, and I have a few little show business stories. One of them may be my favorite show business story of the year, with a celebrity with whom I also had a Big Diva encounter.
And I was in a band named Big Diva Encounter. Stand by.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards.
We go back to Phoenix, where Dean Richards is standing in the desert.
Yeah.
And what's the top story today?
The top story broke earlier this morning, where this rapper that we've been talking about, ASAP Rocky, who has he's been in jail for, since the end of June, because he got into a got into a fight, and Swedish authorities there said that they were investigating it. President Trump got involved because the Secretary of RAP for the United States of America, Kanye West, intervened, asked the president to call the Prime Minister of Sweden, which he did, and the Prime Minister of Sweden told him that he doesn't get involved in judicial matters. Today, ASAP Rocky was officially charged with assault, and he will remain in a Swedish prison until it all comes to trial. So, I mean, people have been, there's been all kinds of talk of, you know, did he do it? Was he provoked? ASAP Rocky has said that it was in self-defense. The authorities in Sweden say it was not self-defense, that it was that he provoked actually the fight. So we'll see what happens with that. But zero influence by outside forces of whether or not.
So Trump's call didn't have any impact.
Zero. They pursued their judicial system. They did their investigation. They made their findings. And, you know, that's seems like that's a good way to run a judicial system. And
yeah, to actually have the judicial system make the decisions. If you're in a Swedish prison, are the pastries fantastic? Are the breakfast great? I mean,
the pastries are delicious. Your meatballs are served at every meal, which is very nice. The only real downside to it is you do have to build your own furniture in your cell.
Oh, it's all IKEA.
It's like IKEA.
Mm-hmm. And just like IKEA, they're always missing a nut or a nail, and you're screwed.
That's right. And you know how wrong that is when you're missing a nut.
Or a nail. What else do you have?
Anne Hathaway is pregnant with her second child.
We're very pleased. We're thinking about naming him Dean.
We love Anne Hathaway, so we're happy for her. J-Lo, you probably devoted your whole show to this yesterday, that Jennifer Lopez celebrated her 50th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big party. Maybe the highlight of the big party was her fiancé, A-Rod, gave her birthday present a $140,000 red Porsche 911 GTS convertible.
You know, it's the thought that counts, because she has more money than he does, and, well, probably not now that I think about it. But what do you buy her, right? You got to buy her something ridiculous.
That's a nice gift. What are you?
Well, ridiculous meaning over the top.
Yeah. That's really what I was going to do for your birthday. Now I feel like I need to rethink that.
You didn't hear this, but Mary Vanderbilt just said you can't really just take her out to dinner. Wouldn't it be great if you just said, let's go to Portillo's?
Yeah. She really liked that.
Right?
Well, no, yeah. She doesn't eat that kind of food.
By the way, Mary Vanderbilt in charge of watching TV, so I don't have to. Do you know this Andy Rowell kid, Dean, this karaoke singer, improv Chicago comedian who went on America's Got Talent? What song did he do? Was it Tequila?
Yeah, he did Tequila the first time.
Yeah, where he's totally stone-faced, and then he just goes, Tequila. And the crowd...
Yeah, there's only one word in that song, yeah.
So the crowd went nuts. He got invited back. So he comes in here, dressed like a Frenchman, with a bag of French bread for me.
He's dressed like Where's Waldo?
Well, that's true. And he never broke character, unless we were off the air. Off the air, he talked to me like a normal human being. On the air, he wouldn't break character. And I started whacking him over the head with a loaf of bread because it got super annoying. Anyway, Mary, you have an update?
Yeah, I was on vacation, but I just watched what happened last week on America's Got Talent, Judges Cuts, and he got nailed. He did the karaoke thing again, and he sang Turn Down for What, which I guess has one line as well. And it just was, I guess it was bad. They didn't even show it on TV. They showed like 15 seconds of his performance, and that was it. So, yeah, he's a goner from the Judges Cuts Part 2.
And, Dean, one more scandal on this end. Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott apparently parked in a handicapped parking spot.
Oh, boy.
They took a picture and posted it on Instagram, and it was clear they were parking in handicapped parking.
Now, was it clear that they knew that they were, violating? Because I went to a restaurant once, and I parked in a spot. I did not notice that there was a sign, not for handicap, but it said pregnant mothers only.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody took a picture of me and said, Dean Richards is apparently expecting. But I truly did not see the sign. So maybe I want to give them the benefit of the doubt that, that maybe.
So what you're saying is it would shock you if the Kardashians were selfish?
Yeah, yes. Self-centered, selfish, all those things. I can't believe that from a Kardashian. That's not possible.
But well, one of them is always pregnant, it seems.
Yeah, well, it depends on whose turn it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
One of them should have been with me the day that I parked in that spot.
How do we know they weren't, really, in the big picture?
So here's my favorite story of the day. You know the actress Faye Dunaway.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most classic actresses of all time.
Loved your last picture with Warren Beatty. It was called What? What's happening? That was from the Oscars a couple years ago.
It was when they said the name of the wrong
winner.
Well, actually, Warren Beatty said the wrong name, but she was part of that. So she is rehearsing for a one-woman show in Boston. She was starring in was going to star in a one-woman show in which she plays Katharine Hepburn. During the rehearsal process, it's not entirely clear what set it off, but Faye Dunaway slaps one of the crew in the face and gets fired on the spot for striking a crew member.
And we don't know why.
I never did hear why. Just seems like slapping somebody in the face is not an appropriate response no matter what. But she was fired on the spot, which reminded me of the story. I forget for what movie it was, but the one and only time that I ever interviewed Faye Dunaway, we had set up our cameras, we'd set up our lights. You know, we have professional camera people. Yep. They know exactly how to do this. They know where to put the cameras and where the lights go and, you know, how to show the best angles on people and all that. And Faye Dunaway comes in and demands, if we're going to do this interview, then the camera needs to move here. The lights need to move there. She made my cameraman reset her entire setup, for the interview. You know, and she said, well, you know, I've been in this business a few years. I know what works best for me, which, you know, may be true, but it's a diva move.
Oh, my God, yes.
Not one other person in the whole time I've been interviewing people, nobody has. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say that. One other person has done that.
Who was it?
Shirley MacLaine. Shirley MacLaine did it once, where she demanded that the lights be changed. I mean, it's actresses of that era.
Well, it is. It definitely is, because Dave Ennett did the same thing yesterday when we were shooting new staff pictures.
Yes. But it wasn't quite that era.
Diva. Divas.
Diva, Dave. Good luck with the family. We'll talk to you from L.A. tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right, thanks. That's Dean Richards. Oh, and by the way, all of that was sponsored by Ravinia, and it's more on entertainment. Headlines next.
Know your role and shut your mouth.
Over the course of my career, I have seen a number of challenges to our democracy. The Russian government's effort to interfere in our election is among the most serious. And as I said on May 29th, this deserves the attention of every American.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Dave Ennett, Steve Rzanich, Mary Vandeveld. What do I always say? I always say we need more young people dedicated to being involved in politics.
You say it all the time.
The knowledge of politics, the knowledge of how the country is run, people to keep an eye on the government, people to make it better. You know why, Dave? Because you and I are almost in a home.
No, that's not why.
We're going to get adjoining rooms.
No, we're not.
I can drive you there.
At some point, the young people do have to step up, though. The generation has to, because they are historically turn out low in elections, and that has to change at some point.
I'd like to introduce you to the hope for the future. Jay Doherty is here. Jay, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We like Jay a lot around here, and he's in several times a week for the summer. Where do you go to school?
I go to the Latin School of Chicago.
And what year are you there?
I'm going to be a sophomore next year.
So I'm 14, 15?
I'm 15.
15 years old.
15, yeah.
Where did your interest in politics come from?
Well, I actually started in like media. I really liked watching the production side of like news and how they could get breaking news so quickly. And then I kind of became absorbed in the content of it. And then I was like, wow, this is actually really interesting. It affects my life and affects everyone's life.
And would you agree that most people your age don't get that?
Yeah, I mean, generally, but there is, when you explain it and kind of break it down where it's not just all huge documents that scare people, it really, I think it puts it more in perspective. But yeah, generally, I agree.
Jay does a podcast, which we can get where?
At j-doherty.com.
jdoherty.com, his own website. He's done 92 episodes. Super Joe, how many episodes of my podcast have I done? About 10, 15?
Yeah, right around there.
And on that podcast, you have guests, I'm sure, but you also talk about your views on politics.
Right, that's correct.
This week, a continued discussion over Trump's racist tweets. And Elon Musk back in the news. He was talking about chips surgically inserted into your brain.
Yep.
And the anniversary of Apollo 11, which, of course, Apollo 11, Dave, happened, I believe, 35 years before Jay was born.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And again, you can get this at j-doherty.com. So do you identify as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent?
Independent, really. Because,
amen, brother.
Yeah,
see you at the party.
I know. I hear you say, you know, both sides have gone so far left and right, it's really hard to choose.
Yep. We got to stay in the middle and try to get the other folks in the middle involved.
100%.
So what do you think about the Mueller testimony?
I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought he would be a little bit more composed in his sentences. He clearly knew everything about the report. He was obviously the head person in that investigation, but he did have a little bit of trouble, from what I saw, kind of forming sentences and getting his thoughts. But to be fair, I mean, Congress was pressing him, asking a lot of double negative questions, and really just trying to get him to spill any information.
Right. So they have their 5-minute showcase to try to make him look like a jerk. He had 2 years of putting this thing together.
Right.
Did you think the Democrats or the Republicans won the day, or does it matter?
I don't know if it really matters for the general public. I think it matters to them, obviously, because they want to score political points out of this testimony. But Republicans really wanted to just yell at Mueller, saying, you know, you went on went on this witch hunt for so long, which is what Trump said. They kind of echoed his whole message of no collusion. Well, the Democrats...
They're like Ewoks. You know, don't get them wet. Don't feed them after midnight. And the other things you're not supposed to do to Ewoks. Do you remember Ewoks? You probably don't remember Ewoks. So you do remember Ewoks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think those are gremlins.
But I think you're thinking of the gremlins,
yeah.
Steve.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you don't feed gremlins after midnight.
What do the Ewoks do? Do they eat early?
Yeah, they just make noise.
They go to early bird.
Walk around in the woods.
Good reference, Steve. Are you optimistic about the future?
Yeah, I think I am. And I think it's hard to see right now in terms of politics and the next president, but I think somehow America always gets through everything, so I think we'll be okay.
Well, we're going to need you. We're going to need you. Could you see yourself running for office someday? I mean, you're 15 now. Could you see yourself running for office?
Maybe. I think it's fun to more cover it, actually, from my experience. But that's the only thing I've done. I haven't run for office, so I don't know.
There have been people that have discussed it with me through the years, and a lot of people I know, of course, are in or have or have talked about it. One of the things that people, and I'm talking about good people, not me, good people. I'm talking about good people who hesitate to be a part of it now because they don't believe they could, you know, affect change because it's so screwed up. Does it feel screwed up to you?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the rhetoric from the administration right now is really what puts what makes it screwed up, in your words. So I don't think, you know, in terms of policy, Trump is just very, very right-leaning. But I think the rhetoric makes the left go crazy and makes everyone become upset just with these tweets, you know, with these four congresswomen who have now been deemed the squad, you know, all that type of stuff. That gets people all fired up, while his policy is really just moderate, traditional conservative policy.
If I asked you to name how many other 15-year-olds are into politics, could you name them? And would it take not very long?
No. Yeah, I could not name them. It would take...
What do your friends think about you being into it?
I think, well, there's a couple people. It's not like no one's... I mean, there's a couple people that are interested.
But do you get grief about knowing stuff about politics? Are you the political nerd? Or do they think, well, it's cool, it's your thing?
Yeah, I think that's the second one, is really more the consensus.
Steve Grzanich has a question for... Are you taking questions?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, Steve Grzanich says, do you want to identify your work?
Steve Grzanich, the Weekly Reader. I just was curious, you know, by the time you're 50, climate situation is going to be here whether we like it or not.
And by situation, you mean the worst effects
the
of
worst.
It. Yeah,
the worst effects.
Right.
How is that changing how you view politics these days? Is that making you want to get more involved or not?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's been a lot of outreach to young people specifically about the climate issue. I've been following it just as kind of another message or another headline in the news, but I think that climate, at least in this administration, is being overlooked so heavily. And I think even if it's a Republican who gets reelected, if it's Donald Trump or down the road, whoever it is, I think they'll just be forced to face it because from all the science we know, I mean, it really is a very scary situation that could happen if, climate change, which has been proven to exist, were to actually ensue the way scientists have predicted.
One texter says the problem with younger people is they vote with their hearts and not their minds. I would accuse probably most voters of that.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think, again, that goes back to the taking Trump's rhetoric more seriously than his policy, mostly just because Trump is the one who writes the rhetoric and the analysts and the people behind the scenes write the policies and he just signs off on them for the most part.
Yeah, no, he doesn't understand it, but that's just my opinion. In the meantime, I will tell you this, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with this, but, you're smarter than I am, and, you got that going for you. But all I want is for the President of the United States to be the President of the United States, not the President of the Republicans,
right.
Not Barack Obama previously being the President of the Democrats.
100%.
Obviously, you're going to lean to help the people that got you there, and at times you'll have to take their side. But to be so partisan and so insulting demeans the office in a way that it's never been demeaned in my lifetime, and that net effect will go on. There was a guy that used to be the governor of this state named Rod Blagojevich. You might have heard of him.
Yes.
Blagojevich's damage that he did to this state can't completely be quantified.
Right.
But he is absolutely part and parcel to why we are so far underwater and the pension problems that we have and the other problems we have, because for the 7-8 years that he was actually in the governor's chair before he was thrown out and put in jail, he didn't do the job. And Trump is not doing the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, look, we need you. And you got to be 35 to run.
Right.
Steve, I'm going to try to get that changed to 17. I want to give Jay another year or so to, get a little more veteran status under him. But by 17, I'd like him in the White House. Can we pull that off?
I don't see why not. I think, his generation, if they want to change the rules, they can do whatever they want.
So, do you think we ought to be able to vote online?
Online, I think you have to look at the big picture and make sure the security software would be completely secure.
And can't you fix that? Don't you write code for fun?
Well, yeah, I could find someone who could fix it. Maybe
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I love how Jay sits next to Walter Jacobson, where his desk is.
It confuses Dave. Dave doesn't know which one's
which. They're both doing politics.
Are you learning a lot from Walter, Jay?
Yeah, I've just observed him. He's very diligent in everything that he does, and I've listened to a
couple. Do you know how big a deal Walter Jacobson is in Chicago?
Yeah, I know.
And you're hanging out with him.
I know. It's crazy.
I mean, he's Walter Cronkite.
He's your cubicle buddy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He's a good guy to talk to and learn stuff from, too.
Yeah, definitely.
And he also usually has a pretty thick wallet if you want to lift it when he's not looking. What? Did I say that out loud? No. We're kidding, Jay.
Right.
Jay, give him your website again.
JAY-DOHERTY.com.
We're going to need you again. Will you be willing to do the show again? Do you feel
of
like
course.
This went well?
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay. We're going to definitely want you back.
All right. Thank you so
Jake
much.
Jake says a lot more when he's on the air than he does off the air because he never says anything.
Very
well, because
quiet.
He's respectful. Quiet. And then I frighten him because one of the first days he was here, he brought in giant chocolate chip cookies. So I nicknamed him Cookie Man.
Mm-hmm.
So like a mental patient, I walk out of the office and I yell, Cookie Man! And that's frightening. For anyone. I don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
So this is a much better thing because we had a conversation like a couple of grown-ups or Jay and me.
And why did the giant cookie stop?
I think that's the first question he's going to need to answer as a politician.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really
appreciate it. JAY.com. He's got a texter. 312 texter who just texted from 302. You are dumb.
We have the best listeners.
I saw that. Didn't know who he was talking to.
Well, I think they're talking to me. I think pretty good chance of that.
Could be all of us.
Yeah.
Was everything spelled correctly?
Yeah, actually.
Well, it better not have been Jay because he's the smartest one here.
847 says, too bad Trump isn't even 1/10 as smart as that kid. So, happy birthday, Walter Payton. How old today?
Walter Payton would have been 65 today.
God, we missed that on so
isn't
much.
Isn't that hard to believe? Yeah, really. I mean,
it's amazing with Connie and Jarrett and Brittany. You know, the family, all the good things they've done since he's been gone. But it's just crazy.
We had the good fortune. You and I had lunch with and John DeCoste with Mike Attenborough the other day, who was a teammate of Walter's, and he was telling some great stories about him.
And he's the trivia question. You can impress your friends this weekend.
Yeah.
Walter Payton only missed one game. Who subbed for him? Who replaced him in the one game he missed? Mike Attenborough.
Yeah.
There you go. It is 9:02. Can I go to the news now? Have I screwed up enough things? You know what they say about me? I'm dumb.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Saturday night, I walked downtown. Remember this? With the Hollies, right? The Steve Cochran Show All-Time Top 10. It's number 9 currently, this one.
Yeah.
List changes constantly.
What's It's Raining Men? Because that's on my top 10.
It's Raining 10. Men did not make the top 10.
That's on my top. That's my
it's
top 10.
It's not a Hochberg top 10?
Oh, forget about it. That's like number 2.
You give it to Robin Williams, Fosse, Fosse, Fosse? When
yeah.
You,
my wife has it as the ringtone when I call her.
It's the best.
Isn't it?
I love it.
You could be in the worst mood. And the Weather Girls come on. The Weather Girls.
Yeah.
And you just drop that beat at the beginning, and it just makes you, it makes me happy.
It came on the radio the other day, and I was just singing at the top of my lungs.
Yeah, Mary and I could rock it out. It's raining, man.
I just want to.
Hallelujah.
If I could just profile here for a second.
We're singing. Can't you see we're having a
moment?
It's
okay for Mary. It's not okay. Oh,
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
David Hochberg's here, and there's a couple of things to discuss when it comes to yo money.
Yeah.
Before we get to the specifics with you, we had a story that Steve brought up earlier about the continuing problems at Boeing.
Yeah.
And the actual impact to the overall economy if Boeing quits making this plane.
Sure. The trickle down.
And Steve, what'd you say? 0.6%?
0.6% to GDP.
For the country.
Think about that. So all the everything that goes into making that plane, that those planes aren't flying.
It's massive.
Yeah, it's huge.
So imagine we have a major disaster in the country or some sort of economic downturn or, you know, a government shutdown. That's what it would be similar to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. So when it comes to the market, you optimistic, pessimistic? Because every time I look now, some expert is saying, any day now. It's over.
Yeah, but, you know, it's been over for the past 10 years. So, you know, while there's blood in the streets, you might as well take advantage of it. As long as the world is ending, you might as well take advantage of it. At this time last year, rates, at the beginning of the year, rates were in the fives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now we're in the high threes, low fours. So is it really that bad? You know, we talked about when you bought your first home, it was like, what, 17%, 15%, 12%?
It was probably 10.
10%,
my parents absolutely had 17, 18%.
Sure.
Yeah.
With one origination point, you got the steak knives or the toaster or the glassware.
Right.
So, you know, the market is efficient. These are still relatively low rates to what people have experienced who are a lot older than me, who have experienced higher interest rates, and our parents and our grandparents. So is it a good time to buy? You know, somebody just asked me that the other day. Well, I'm renting, and because, you know, I don't want to pay real estate tax. I'm like, really? You don't think you're paying real estate taxes when you rent? Really? I mean, think about that comment. Who owns the place that you're renting? You have a landlord. Landlord's real estate tax bill is going up. So that real estate the landlord's not going to start eating that rise in real estate taxes.
And by the way, nor should they.
You know, and they're going to pass it on in the form of a rent increase coming up next year when your lease is expired or something like
so
that.
So what you're saying, if I could read between the lines, is if you're thinking about buying a house.
It's a great time.
Buy a house.
Yeah. If you want to buy a house, buy a house. If you want to rent, rent. 63.4% of the United States own home and the other 36, 37 rent. There's nothing wrong with it.
So what happens to the market, you know, as a steady thing as it goes forward? Are we going to continue to see like these bumps up? I mean, we just heard, again, Stephen in the news a few minutes ago, talk about the fact that we've got earnings reports coming after the market closes today from Google and other places.
Right.
You know, the big companies, the market drivers.
Sure. I think what happens is that the unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in a long time. More people are working. More people are also accumulating debt that own homes because the real estate taxes have gone up. Gas is up a dollar from what it was at this time last year. Yeah, I looked at the gas station as I'm driving. I'm like, holy smokes, it's $3.49 in Northfield as I'm getting on the Edens to come up north here. It was like $2.29 a year ago. I'm like, what's going on? So when you start factoring all that in, people don't realize $20 a tank. Okay, my tank's 23 gallons. It's 23 gallons, right? It's $23. I got to fill it up every week. There goes another 90.
You're talking about over the cost of what it's before.
Over the cost. Yeah. So it all adds up, and that comes out of someplace. And, you know, God forbid you don't send Johnny to Cooperstown to have his 4 days in Cooperstown for $2,500 to $3,000. And overnight camp is $5,000 to $8,000. It just adds up, Steve. And now next month we got all the kids coming back from summer camps and all that stuff. Then you got to load them up to send them to school. You know, You got to clothe them. I don't know. For some reason, my wife has got to run them to get brand new clothes. I'm like, what the hell happened to the other clothes that they wore like 2-3 months ago? So, I mean, all this stuff, and then you got to get book supplies and school supplies and all the
books. Why do they need books?
I know. Well, my kids like books. We got computers. It's a nightmare. But it's three kids. I should have stopped. Whatever. I love them, but they're expensive. But, you know, but what are you going to do?
Which one's the most expensive? First, second, or third?
It's a cumulative. You know, 1 week, once cost me this. Next week, you know, she goes on the down low, and then the other two are costing me a fortune. Sure. And all of a sudden, here comes the third one. Dance class. I need to go to special dance studio thing. There's another $750. I should open up a dance studio, okay? Because that's the biggest scam in the world, is these dance
studios. Well, let me tell you right now, when I look at you,
I'm a great dancer.
I think dancer.
I should. Could you see me educating kids how to dance?
Fluidity and movement.
I think
fussy,
poise.
Fussy, fussy.
Poise. I could get up on my toes better than, it's like an elephant on his toes. It's good. I got some moves.
You can also find out from David Hochberg and Team Hochberg a bunch of magic credit moves to help your credit rating before you continue to destroy it and all those things. Team Hochberg contact point is what?
855-56-DAVID. You can go to 56david.com. You could scream out your window, hey, David, give me a call. And we've got that down as well.
Because you know 98% of the people in Chicago.
Right.
Just ask someone. Go, yeah. Hey, you know Hochberg? Yeah, where is he right now? Yeah. We'll be able to find you on the David Hochberg plotting map or the Where's David Hochberg app.
I should have a reality show.
You should have a lot of things.
Tribune Media.
You should have a checkup from the neck up.
And then I should have like a shrink following me to do checkups throughout the day. What did you just say?
It's amazing how good you are at money and mortgages.
It's crazy.
And refinancing and student loans and all the things you do every day at Team Hochberg, because it'd be really bad if you were a surgeon.
Oh, there would be a lot of deaths.
Yeah.
You'd go in, you wouldn't come out.
No, that's true.
And
that's a terrible slogan.
Yeah, I'd have a funeral home, too. It'd be a good business.
See, you're always thinking.
On the other end.
Always thinking.
Yeah.
Team Hochberg wants you to win some money if you're going to the Blackhawks convention. I'll tell you about that in just a second. And if you have any questions for David, we can certainly run that by him as well. We'll run a few things by him that you haven't even heard of yet, because I'm just looking at the notes right now. 312-981-7200 is the number.
I think it would be great just to have David follow me around, and every time I make a bad money mistake,
he yells at you.
Smack me in the back of the head.
He just yells at you.
I just want to smack in the back, because you got a nice big fat back of the head. You got a good, I get a good 5-star on there. That's what my kids call it.
You didn't take your meds this morning.
Not at all. I took my dog's meds.
312-981-7200.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You happy now?
How doesn't this make you feel better?
I didn't say it didn't make me feel better.
It feels great. I could do like 40 loans today instead of just 20.
I just don't reference it. I don't think of it. It's a fine song.
You should express your feelings more.
Don't think of the words. It's just got the beat.
Thank you, Mary.
You think I'm emotionally stunted? Is that what we're talking about?
I wouldn't make that
You wouldn't say it
out loud in front of you,
yeah,
but
100%.
I would agree if somebody would say it. Is that what you're saying?
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If I pay a closing cost for a low rate, aren't I really super smart?
Well, no. Are you super smart if you're the mortgage company that's charging you all those closing costs? Yeah, they're super smart.
But you told me before, you have to do closing costs.
No, not necessarily. There's two ways to do a loan. One, you roll the closing costs into your loan. And two, you take a slightly higher interest rate and you finance your closing costs.
But the closing costs will be in there somewhere.
The closing costs are...
The smart way to do it is what?
Well, the smart way to do it is either... Well, an educated borrower should run the numbers. Because we just talked to a borrower yesterday from WGN. He was quoted 3.99. Okay, and what these gigantic online companies like Rocket Loving Lending do is they get you into the threes because the consumer wants to hear that three, and they think they're getting a great deal. Okay, great, $13,000 in closing costs. So it's a $200,000 loan.
With $13,000 in closing costs?
People think that that's normal. Steve, you're looking at me like I got three heads here.
The math doesn't even make sense.
People don't do the math. They pull up, pump their gas. There's a commercial. Rocket Loving Lending. They Googled mortgage. Here comes an online following ad from artificial intelligence. Rocket Loving Lending.
What's the most you should ever pay for closing costs?
Closing costs are about $2,200. If you live in a condo, it might be slightly higher. Okay, because you have to get a condo questionnaire.
$2,200, high end.
$2,200 without a condo questionnaire. If you have an appraisal waiver, you could cut off probably $200 to $300 on that. So, long story short, here's a perfect example of why the lower rate's not necessarily always the best thing for the borrower. So, this borrower's like, yeah, you know, lot of equity in the home, everything's fine. So they came to us, yeah, 213 to 3.99. I'm like, all right, let's walk through this little mathematic equation here. Because our rate at the time with everything they're doing was 4.375 with all the things that they were doing. And Rocket Loving Lending quoted them 3.99. Mm-hmm. I said, 213 to 3.99, what's the payment? I don't know. It's $1,016 a month. Okay? So is the rate more important to you? Or is the monthly payment more important to you? Well, the monthly payment, of course. I go, okay, you're right. That's the right answer. So we did it at $202,300 at 4.375. Our payment was $1,010. $1,010 instead of $1,016. So our payment at a higher rate with $10,000 less, $11,000 less closing costs.
Buy a dinner, save you $70 this year.
Well, it's not even that. It's $6 a month, but you're not adding another 10 G's to your loan.
Right.
Forget about the rate.
Right.
Don't let these online lenders hook you with this rate, because that's what they're programmed to do. They've got actuaries in the back room. They've got psychiatrists on staff that hone in on the marketing message. Get them in the threes. Just get them in the threes. Quote them in the threes. They won't even look at the closing costs. Most people don't look at the, it blows my mind.
$200,000 home, a $200,000
mortgage.
$200,000 mortgage.
Right.
A $12,000 closing cost.
It was $13,000 compared to our $2,300.
I mean, that's 5% of the total mortgage.
Yeah. What's that got to do with anything? I got a loan that starts with a three, Steve. I got 3.99% loan. And you know, my rate's 3/8 of a point higher.
Or 2.5%. Doesn't matter. It's a lot of money.
It's a ton of money. It's ridiculous.
All right. A question came from a listener.
Yes.
Somebody dies. You're going to buy a home.
100% certainty death. Okay. Yep.
Everybody's on that page?
Everybody's on that page.
Okay. We're all going to die?
We're all going to die.
Somehow I don't think you're going to die.
I think, yes.
Buying a home after the death of a family member. Talk to me about what you do, what you don't do.
Yes. What you do is, we just had a lady call. Who mother passed away. They owned a home, okay, and they wanted to sell the home to the son, okay. So
should be pretty straightforward.
It's a pretty straightforward transaction. So mom decided to give her half of the home. It was two sisters, mom and aunt. Okay, mom passes away. There were two sisters. Mom gave it to both sisters. So it's a $200,000 home. All right. Now, everybody's like, well, I want to sell the home to my son. I'm like, great. You could give him a gift of equity for your half. She's like, I don't want anything out of the home. I want to give him my $100,000. And she was going around and around with a bunch of different lenders at her bank and at online. I'm like, this is a simple transaction. Mom passed away, right? Yes. Sorry for your loss. Mom leaves the home to you and your sister. Yes. Yes. You want to sell the home to your son, and your sister's okay with selling the home to her nephew. Yes. You each have $100,000 worth of equity because mom didn't have a mortgage on the home.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, great. So you have $100,000 worth of equity, and your sister has $100,000 worth of equity. Yes. Okay, so I'm just walking her through the flow charting. You can, and you don't want any money out of the house. No, but your sister needs the money. Yes, my sister needs her 100 grand to pay off some debt, whatever. Fine. So what we do is we write up a purchase contract for $200,000 purchase from the son. We'll call him Tim. So Tim's buying the home for mom and the aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mom is giving son Tim a gift of equity of her $100,000 because she wants her son to start out the home.
And that's all in the writing.
It's all in the writing. So she wanted to sell the home for 100 grand. I'm like, you don't want to sell the home for 100 grand. You're going to blow the property value in the area for everybody. Sell the home for $200,000. Tim gets a $100,000 gift of equity, which is your equity portion from the will, and Tim rolls with a 50% loan to value because he's putting half down in the bank size. He's got a value of a home at $200,000, and he's running with a $100,000 mortgage, which is going to cost him about $500 a month.
And he doesn't need the money.
And he doesn't and he doesn't need the money.
The other guy,
right?
The other aunt needs the money.
The other aunt needs the money. His mom doesn't need the money, and we figured stuff out with closing costs. So Tim basically walked into this house. He had a job. He had good credit. He had assets, but he didn't have to invest anything because it all came from mom.
See, this is why you need to be in everyone's home so you can explain this stuff, because it does make people's eyes glaze over.
It really does. And death really puts, listen, I lost my mom. You know, everybody's lost somebody.
You can't think straight. You don't care.
You got a lot of moving pieces. You know, there's emotion, there's stress. It's a family home that mom's lived in for 50 years. A lot of that goes into it, and everybody gets all wound up. And I just come in, I just lay it out, and then we walk them through 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, and everybody's like, "Well, I didn't know
we should say
that."
You yell at your people, you yell at me, you don't yell at customers.
No, we talk loudly, and it's a different definition of yelling.
All right, so tomorrow night I will co-host with Adam Burrish a big variety show after Dave and I do the opening ceremonies. And then Dave and I'll go out dancing, maybe dinner.
Yeah. Yes.
I'll come back. I'll do the opening ceremony, or I should say the variety show with Burrish. Burrish is going to be on tomorrow, by the way.
What time is that?
What time is the show?
Is the variety show.
I don't even know. Okay. 7 o'clock, maybe.
Got it. Okay.
Check your local listings. And then Saturday night. Second City's coming over to do their sketch comedy thing. And right before that, what happens?
We are doing a Team Hochberg sponsor the Blackhawks this year. We're doing a Shoot the Puck during the convention, where one person that goes to the convention, you have to be there Saturday night to shoot the puck. We're going to select somebody to win $1,000. And we have a placard that we're going to bring out a net.
Give them the cash that night?
We're going to give them the cash right then and there. So you have to come to the Team Hochberg booth in the convention center there, where all the sponsors are, to register, and we're going to pick one person. If you're going to you have to be there Saturday night. You can't shoot the puck from Elmhurst. Okay, you've got to be in the ballroom. Okay, so if you're going to register, make sure you're going to be there. I think we're going to do it around 6 o'clock on Saturday night.
That makes sense.
Yeah, right before the Second City skit.
So you got all day to register.
You've got all day Friday if you go. If you're going to be there Saturday and all day
stay
Saturday
at the hotel.
Yeah. Perfect.
Sponsored by. Thank you, David.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm looking forward to...
And I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
All right, fine. Okay, settle down.
If you need help, let me know.
Not likely.
Okay.
Kane put it in front. Caggiula shoots and scores! Frank Caggiula! A perfect handoff from Kane from the left wing corner. Caggiula moved between the circles, took that pass, and in one motion snapped it past Pecorine.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Last time Drake Caggiula was on the show, I think he scored like 3 goals in his next 4 games. I mean, he should be asking to be on every day, don't you think?
I would think so. I mean, that kind of production.
Definitely related. Good morning, Drake.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good. I don't know what happened because you scored 3 and 4, and then you're not on the show anymore. You need to be on the show to score. We're happy to do it.
Hey, I'll come on the show as often as you guys need me if I'm going to keep scoring.
You excited about convention?
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've seen some videos from prior years, and it's going to be my first convention, so it should be a good one for sure.
I don't know if there's a way you can be prepared, though, Drake, for what you're going to see tomorrow. And
especially the opening ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, because it really, when you come out there, it doesn't matter if you've played half a season for the Blackhawks or played 10 years for the Blackhawks or more. I mean, people just go crazy.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I've heard tons and tons of crazy stories and good things about it. And, obviously the fans care about the team a lot. And it's definitely fun that we can put on an event like this and have the showings that we do.
What's your summer like now? What do you do? Because you got to be in full mode to train, to get ready for camp. What are you doing now?
Well, I'm currently driving home from the gym, so I work out every morning with Gary Roberts, and we have a good facility and a good group that we work out with, and typically work out for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and then from there, start now that it's middle of July, I'm starting to skate a lot more than I was in prior months, and just trying to get as prepared for September as I can right now.
There's been a trend, I know Patrick Kane has talked about this, kind of a trend towards less of the really heavy lifting that guys used to do and more towards core and flexibility and speed training, that sort of stuff. Is that the direction you've gone in?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done a lot of training in terms of finding ways to cut down my body fat, increase my speed, but obviously staying as strong as possible at the same time. But the game is turning into a speed and skill game, and obviously you still have to be strong to, you know, hold off defenders and that sort of stuff. But you know, the faster you can get, the more agile you can get, and you know, functional movements and trying to keep your body healthy is definitely the way that the training is starting to go these days.
I want to remind people, Dave Ennett, that in addition to all the convention stuff, Friday at 10 a.m. Training Camp Festival tickets go on sale. And 2019 Training Camp Festival takes place on Sunday, September 15th, the United Center. Tickets on sale again tomorrow at 10 a.m. The outdoor festival at 8 is the training camp scrimmage. Inside the United Center starts at 11. And the first 10,000 fans to enter the United Center get a Patrick Kane bobblehead. You know, Drake, I could probably make a call, get you one of those.
I would love a Patrick Kane bobblehead. Absolutely.
Well, you had the opportunity to skate last year with Kane and Taves, which I'm sure is, in a lot of ways, that's something that there are plenty of guys around the NHL who would aspire to that. Is that something you're hoping to get the chance to do again this season?
Absolutely. I thought that, you know, last year when I was given that opportunity, I tried to make the most of it and you know, leave a pretty positive stamp in that situation. And obviously every year is a new year and you got to find ways to, you know, earn spots in the lineup. And my goal coming back into the season this year is to, you know, earn that spot again. And you know, I'm definitely not the only guy that wants to be in that situation. There's guys on our team and throughout the league that would, to, you know, kill to be in that situation. So you know, healthy competition is always a good thing, and I'm definitely looking forward to you know, accepting the challenge and then trying to fight for that spot again.
Super Joe, any last questions for Drake Kajula, the Chicago Blackhawks, the convention? Maybe you need Drake to get you some tickets. Anything?
Yeah, Drake, are you? Who is the player that the Blackhawks acquired this season that you are most excited to play with?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
I'm gonna have to go with Shaw. I think. Obviously, he's been in Chicago before, but you know, I think there's a lot of similarities in the way that we play, and a lot of people have been, you know, reaching out through social media, talking about the two of us, you know, playing the same team, bringing the same kind of energy, and you know, the same kind of mindset to the game. And you know, I've seen a couple things about, you know, the two little Bash brothers and stuff like that. Just, it's you know, I've never met Shaw before, but it'd be great to meet him and see how similar we are, you know, on the ice and off the ice. So I think that's probably the newest one of the newest players that I'm looking forward to meeting.
He's very serious. He's, Dave, you would agree with me, into the literary masterpieces.
Yeah.
He likes to talk a lot of Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. Soft spoken.
I can see that on the ice.
Listen, have a great time. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sounds good. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks
for being on. Drake Kajula.
Good
or
guy.
If you like, Drake Caligula.
Whatever, just as long as he's out there.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he'll probably score three or four goals in the first three or four games now.
I do like that Shaw-Kajula kind of comparison. I mean, that's pretty valid.
How about those two together? That'll mess you up.
The
same line?
Mess up some opponents.
Right? It's 8, make it 9:51. 8:51 for our Mountain Zone listeners.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm looking at a lovely and talented Anna DeVlantis photo or two. And look who she's in the picture with, Dylan Strome. Do you know why?
Yes.
Because the Blackhawks dropped off a birthday cake to Anna yesterday. Wasn't that nice?
Yeah.
I think that's all thanks to you, because you reminded Roe yesterday that it was Anna's birthday.
I think that's probably true. And am I getting any credit for this?
I don't think
so. Not without bringing it up. And Anna's not been feeling well, but she's a gamer. She's in here doing it. She still looks great, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's the only way she looks. But she comes in and she gets a kick. Now, let's just review. Dylan Strome's live in studio yesterday. TV this morning, to break it's on Channel 9. Wait, I'm being told in my headphones that we have a special guest tomorrow on the show for camp. Who's going to be on the show? Or not for camp, for convention. Who's going to be on the show tomorrow? Don't we have a special guest in studio tomorrow?
We sure do.
Who is it?
That would be the one and only Troy Murray.
We love Troy. And Troy and I see each other at the bald guy meetings.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
Number 19.
Yeah. Yeah. So we used to split the cost of Rogaine. I used to Rogaine for years before I shaved my head. And then I had that period where I just took the $40 a month and taped 220s to the top of my head. Eventually, you just got to let it go. Got to let it go. We were talking. Hi, boy. Sorry.
But you're not shaved, really.
Buzzed.
Buzzed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that. I mean your head.
By the way, you never think you're going to be shopping for this stuff when you're a kid, right? I saw the coolest razor to shave your head for a dude. And by the way, if you're a woman shaving your head, you're probably in a band. It's a razor where the head of the razor is a truck, like a truck. So the truck, cool. Like you can use the razor and you can go vroom, vroom, vroom.
They should do a Zamboni machine.
Oh,
nice.
Be good.
Nice.
Just go around in an oval on your head.
And it'd be cool if you could lay down a thin layer of ice on top of your head, too. Because
it is summer.
In that summertime.
That'd be great.
That's Bill, and that's Jim Toronto, who's acting like Wendy today when we come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. Bill F. is here. The Bill F. with formerly Wendy show.
Right.
Formerly. Wendy. Yeah. Wendy, until she clears those charges, she's not coming back.
You know, she got a job at Shoe Carnival about 3 weeks ago, and I said, this is going to screw up your radio. And she goes, no, it's not. It'll enhance my radio.
You know what I always wondered? Is it truly a carnival, a Shoe Carnival?
It can be.
Right?
There's they have a roulette wheel in there.
Yeah.
You know what? I like the shoe tilt-a-whirl with a guy with six fingers that runs it.
That's fun.
It's a good time.
Was it really a locker room?
Oh, that's true.
Her foot locker?
Right. Yeah. That's true.
I like riding the shoehorn. One of the great roller coasters.
We'd heard.
I thought that was your weekend.
See, there's
well, there it is.
That's where Charles Nelson Reilly's laugh comes in.
There's your CNR.
When you throw a double entendre with a little gay tinge and you go,
you're a CNR clown.
You know, that was out loud on mic.
What?
Okay, Billy Lightfoot.
Which, by the way, is a great name.
Billy Lightfoot.
Billy Lightfoot.
Billy Lightfoot.
Does sound nice.
Good right. Morning with you.
What are you doing today?
Paul Lisnick will be on.
I thought you were going to say Paul Lind.
Paul Lind.
Paul Lisnick was center square for a lot of years.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul.
Paul will be on to discuss the Mueller testimony from yesterday. Give us some highlights and some lowlights.
Laugh riot, that whole thing.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
Could you repeat the question?
There'll be a lot of that. And Patrick McDonald will be on to talk about some new films that are opening up.
Oh, Patrick McDonald, who talks about movies with you guys all the time.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything lately?
No, you know what? I have not. I want so badly to see Yesterday.
Is that good? Yesterday, I want to see that.
I want to see that.
It's not Rocket Man, but it's good.
Yeah. Steve, what were you saying?
I said, just go see it. I want to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I'll go see it.
Steve, you can talk to me about it. Steve,
I didn't know
Steve,
you'd seen it.
You can talk to me about anything.
That's so nice of you.
And this weekend, the Quentin Tarantino movie comes out. That one I want to see.
Yeah, highly anticipated.
Yeah, don't bring the kids or your grandmother. Yeah.
I can only imagine how bloody the Manson scenes are going to be.
Yeah, who you know, you got to know you made it in Hollywood when you can have a pitch meeting and it goes, okay, here's the idea. I want to make a movie about the Manson murders.
Yep.
Okay, where do we sign up for that, and how do we make it a summer blockbuster?
I mean, his version of Cinderella was bloody. Can you imagine what's going to happen to this?
Yes. Right.
Yep. Hey, on that happy note, see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Steve.